my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Amen. How old is your baby? 7 months. Have you spoiled the baby already? Raise his wave. Have to blame it on the parents. But it's all right to spoil babies. You're supposed to spoil babies. Amen. My mom spoiled me when I was a baby. My brothers and sisters used to always say, he's just taking his side because he the baby. Because I was young. You know, when you're younger, they call you the baby. That's the baby. But then when I got older, my mom used to tell people, that's my baby. I'm like, I ain't no baby. See? Y'all tell how we are as people. She'd be like, that's my baby right there. I ain't no baby. I'm 10 years old. Amen. Amen. Isn't it amazing? You know, I got to share this with you. How when we grow up, you know, we just change on our parents. You know, I remember I was a certain age. My brother was, amen, just stay with me. My brother was a little older than I was, like 3 years. About 2 years older than I was, and one of my brothers. And I remember, you know how your mother used to take you out to the stores to buy you clothes and stuff. And I remember my brother got to a certain age, and he didn't want to go with us no more. And my mom said, "Yeah, he think he's too grown. That he don't want to go to just shopping with us." And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why would he want to go shopping with us? You know. But how many of you know when I turned his age, I didn't want to go shop with my mom no more either. I mean, you know, we just think we grow. You know what I mean? So then I understood, you know, I understand that why he didn't want to go. But anyway, are you in Philippians chapter 2? Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Amen. See, that bless somebody because, you know, we get to turn age, we like change. Amen. 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 The moral of the story is just continue to spoil the baby while the baby is a baby. Amen. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind or humility, let each value others better than themselves. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen? This is part 2 of a message I started last week called Actions of Unification and Servanthood. Actions of unification and Servanthood. And we see here in Philippians 2 that Paul encouraged and educated the Christians at Philippi. For those of you who might not know, Philippi was the first Christian church in Europe. Did you know that? Amen. But he encouraged them and educated them to live a life of unity and servanthood, okay? Live in unity and become good servants. And his rationale behind challenging them was that Paul understood the value and how important it is for Christians to live together in unity and to be good servants because he experienced it himself. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. And also, Paul knew that the Christians at Philippi, they were encouraged by the fact that they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and now they were united with Jesus. And Paul told them in so many words, he said, if you are encouraged with Christ Jesus, if you are encouraged to be connected to him, then he said, then you should live the life that Jesus lived, okay? He said, if you're encouraged by being united with him, you should live the life that Jesus lived. Because how many of you know that, like we mentioned last week, that Jesus Christ lived a life of unity and he was a good servant. Okay, there are a lot of servants in the world, but Jesus was a good servant. Are you all still with me? Amen. But not only did Jesus Christ live a life of unity, and when I say unity, I'm talking about with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, but he also encouraged us as Christians to live a life in unity with one another and a life of unity with God, okay? And he also, in his word, encouraged us to be good servants. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And so last week we looked at two words. We talked about two words that I've already mentioned. One is called unification, and the other one is called servanthood. And we found out that the word unification is the process of being in unity, okay, or unified, to made whole, to become one. In other words, one accord. And a process of unification, I told you the word process means steps and actions that need to be taken in order to accomplish any mission, okay? So if we want to be unified in the body of Christ, there are steps and actions that we must take. Also, I mentioned to you, and I know I'm going a little fast because I'm just kind of just giving an overview from last week. I mentioned to you that servanthood is the role of being a servant, okay? The role of being a servant and not necessarily to be served. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, when we look at it from a natural point of view, we would say, well, that doesn't make sense. You know, it's been more blessed to receive than to give, because if I receive, I can give. But Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the Bible says that, and the reason why the Bible says that is because if you give, you're going to automatically receive. Like my wife was talking about that calendar. She was really excited about that calendar, you know. So when she said that, you know, it might not be a big thing to y'all, but it was a big thing to me. Yeah, it was a big thing to her, because she told me about that thing last night. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But it's more blessed to give than to receive, because when we give, we receive. That's just God's way. That's just the Christian way. Are you all still with me? Amen. So servanthood is once again, is to serve and not necessarily the being served. Amen. So Paul called them to be in unity, okay, and he called them to be good servants, because how many of you know that without unification, okay, without the body of Christ being unified, then we would not be good servants. That's the way it is. In other words, the way that we become good servants is that we have to be unified, in other words, on one accord. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Now, Paul encouraged them, you know, to be in unity, okay? He encouraged them to be good servants, but in order to do that, like I said, he also educated them, okay? You know, sometimes people will tell you to do things, but they don't tell you how to do it. But Paul educated them. What he did was he presented to them the blueprint that Jesus used, okay? He presented to them the blueprint. I want you to look at verse number 5, okay? He presented to them the blueprint, or he gave them the blueprint. The blueprint. After he told them to be good servants and be in unity, because that's what verses 1, 2, and 3 is talking about. It's talking about be unified and be good servants, you know, and look to serve instead of be served. He gave them the blueprint. In verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, okay? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So he said, the only way that we can be unified, the only way that we can be good servants, is that we must have the mind of Christ, okay? Because basically what he's telling them is that, you know, in order to accomplish what I'm trying to get you to do, you have to have a renewed mind. You know, now I would say that Jesus had a renewed mind because he didn't have to renew his mind, okay? He was Jesus. But in order for us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we have to have a renewed mind, okay? The mind plays a very important part in unity and servanthood, okay? The mind hath to be right, because servanthood is based on attitude, okay? It's based on attitude. And if my mind is not right, then I'm going to have a bad attitude to serve. Because if I serve, I'm going to be expecting something back. Well, that's not the right mindset. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So we have to have the right attitude. Amen. So look, by Christians not being in unity, okay, by Christians not being unified, we allow division to come into the body of Christ, okay? Satan is always looking for a way to come into the body of Christ to cause problems. And how many of you know that as Christians, we all are members of the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ being the head of the body, okay? So every member have a very important role to play in the body of Christ. That means that every member of the body have to be on one accord. Let me give you an example that we all can relate to. If you look at the physical body, let's say that one day the arm decides that it don't want to be a part of the body anymore. And then the arm just jump off of your shoulder and start walking in the street. How bad would that look? Well, let's bring it over to the spirit world. That's a good one, Andy Jones. Amen. If we bring it over to the spirit world, the body of Christ have to be joined together. We can't be separated, because Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And that's the reason why as Christians we have to follow what Jesus did. He practiced unity, and he also practiced, or he was a good servant. Not just a servant, but good servants. But if I'm not unity, I'm going to have division. And the reason why I'm going to have division is because of strife, okay, jealousy, vainglory, what the Bible says here in the verses, which is self-conceit. All these things will cause division in the body of Christ. I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. Are you all still with me? Selfishness. And all of those type things will affect the body of Christ, because in today's world, right now, they are affecting the body of Christ. Why? Because people are more focused on being served than they are to serve. People are looking more of themselves instead of others. That's why Paul told them here, he said, value others more than yourself. Because the only way that we are going to be good servants is that we have to realize that the word serve means to serve and not be served. Are y'all still with me? Mr. Jones taught a Bible study, midweek service on Wednesday night. He talked about service, being a good servant. And that's the responsibility of every Christian. Are y'all still with me? Amen. All those things have affected the body of Christ in a negative way. Amen. So Paul not only encouraged them, he gave them the blueprint. Amen. Look at the blueprint. He talked about the mind, and then he told them, in verse number 6, he said, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. He said he made himself of no reputation. See, sometimes as people, I'm not going to say Christians, I'm going to say people in general, they think they have a good reputation because they have given themselves a good reputation, or made themselves good reputation. But a lot of times, it's not what we think of ourselves, it's what others think about us. See? But Jesus, he didn't make himself of a reputation, because he realized that he was a servant. Jesus came down here to serve. And there's a scripture that says that. There are several scriptures that say that. So he realized that he did not come to be served or a servant. Well, when we renew our mind, okay, part of the blueprint here that Paul gave them is that they need to realize that they are not there to be served, but they are there to serve. Are y'all still with me? And then the Bible talked about Jesus humbled himself. In the same series of scripture, he humbled himself. The only way that I can be a good servant is that I must humble myself. Because if I do not humble myself, what belongs to someone else, I'm going to want it for myself. In other words, what I am not doing, I am not valuing others, I am valuing my own self. Are y'all still with me? So the blueprint tells us to humble ourselves. Amen. And then the Bible tells us to be obedient, okay? So Jesus was obedient, okay, unto death. He was obedient unto death. And because of his obedience, he was able to focus on serving. Because he was not arrogant, he was able to focus on serving. Okay? Because he was not conceited, he was able to focus on servant, being a servant. And because he was focused on being a servant, the Bible tells us in this series of scripture that God highly exalted him. Not exalted, but highly. And how many of you know that the Bible tells us that God is not a respecter of persons? And when we put all of those negative things to the side and focus on being a servant of the Most High God, God can highly exalt us just like he highly exalted Jesus. In other words, we have a role to play in it. Just like he highly exalted Jesus, he can highly exalt us. He highly exalted Jesus because Jesus focused on being a good servant. See, that's power in being a good servant. But once again, I can't be a good servant if I'm not unified. Would you say, something? Amen, amen. I have to be on one accord with Christians and with Jesus Christ and with God. Are y'all still with me? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our intercessor, the one who died on the cross for us, the one who gave his life for us, he prayed for us that we would become one in unison with other Christians and with God. That tells us how important it is to be in unison or to be unified or the importance of unification. If Jesus had to pray for us so we could be unified, that tells us how important it is. Because once again, if we're not unified, we're not going to be good servants as the body of Christ. Now, one person might be served, may be a good servant, but I'm talking as the body of Christ. Are you all still with me? I want you to go to John chapter 17. I think we're up to date now. Amen, I believe. John chapter 17. Talking about servanthood. Because, see, as we prepare to go into the new year, which is not that far away, as I mentioned before, I believe that after every year, we really should be reevaluating ourselves every day, but especially before December the 31st, because we get ready to go into a new year, and we want to get better every not just every day, but every year, you know. And we have to reevaluate ourselves to look at what we did in 2021 in relation to serving God, because in order to be a good servant, we have to first serve God. Are y'all still with me? And then the extra baggage, we can leave it in 2021 and move forward fresh in 2022. Amen? Are you at John 17? This is around the time when Jesus, you know, before he was getting crucified, but he was praying for his disciples here. Look at what he said here. He said here in chapter 17, I'm going to look at verse number 15. I'm going to start right there. He says, let's start with 14. He said, I have given them thy word. Okay, he's praying to God. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He's praying for his disciples. Verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, I like to say, of the world. And then he said in verse 16, he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And now he started praying for us. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He said, that they all may be what? One. Y'all see that? Jesus knew the importance of unification. He said, so that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are what? One. Do y'all see that? I mean, Jesus Christ said, look, I want them to be in unity. Because if not, if the body of Christ is not in unity, then God, people are not going to glorify us. He's not going to glorify you. Y'all still with me? And the way that people see Jesus in us, one of the ways is, are we being servants? Are we serving the people? And when I say serve, I don't mean making a Thanksgiving, give them a Thanksgiving plate, or taking them out some Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm talking about valuing them over ourselves. Are y'all still with me? Amen. He said we should become one. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, when Christians come together on one accord, things happen in this world. Why? Because we were created, we were saved to make a difference in this world. Are y'all still with me? Because a lot of people don't know Jesus. So the only Jesus they're going to see is through us. So when Christians come together, things happen in this world. But how many of you know that there is no, in the eyesight of God, there is no division in serving. And the reason for that is because you have your gift, I have my gift, you have your gift, you have your gift. We all were called to do something. We're not in this world just to be in this world. We're in the world to do something, okay? And as long as I handle my role and everyone else in the world handle their role, then there's a lot of things good that can happen in this world. Right, once again, there's no division in serving, and that's what Paul was trying to get them to see here. He said, hey, you know, you're excited about Jesus. You're excited about being united. He said, now you need to do something about it. You need to go in and serve, but the only way you're going to be a good servant is, first of all, you have to be unified with other Christians and with God. You have to be like-minded, you know. You have to be like-minded with one another and with Jesus. And once again, the Bible just explained Jesus' mindset to us. Are y'all still with me this morning? So Jesus mastered the process to achieve unification and servanthood. He mastered the process. Amen. But as I mentioned last week, the only way that Jesus could have mastered the process is that his mind had to be right. And that's why the Bible tells us to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Are y'all still with me? And see, Christians, you know, based on scripture, and Minister Jones read this verse the other night, you know, as Christians, we have the mind of Christ, but we still have to develop the mind. Just like we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, but we still need to follow the Spirit, see? Because the mind is the battleground for Satan. I've said that before. But what he's really after is your heart. I mentioned that last week, see? Because the Bible tells us out of the heart flows the issues of life. So Satan tries to get to your heart through your mind. The mind's the battleground. No doubt about that. Yeah, he wants your mind too. But he's really trying to get to your heart. Because you know if he can get to the heart, he can control some things. And I gave us an example last week, right? That's when people have unforgiveness in their mind, but they end up storing it in their hearts. That's why it's hard for them to forgive people, because it's gotten to the heart. That's why we need to forgive people quickly. Why? Because once we forgive them right away, it won't have time to get to the heart. Are y'all still with me this morning? Is everybody all right? Amen. So I have to have the right mind to serve, because if I have the right mind, I will have the right heart. That's why the Bible tells us to renew the mind. If the mind is right, the heart is going to be right. If the mind is not right, the heart is not going to be right. So if the mind is right and the heart is right, then I will strive to be a good servant. Not just serve, but a servant. I would always look at other people's other people and their concerns instead of my own. Why? Because I know God is going to supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, they might not know that. See, so when I serve them, I know that God is going to also serve me. God serves us. I'll show you a scripture in a few minutes. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve. See, you know, we all know this. I'm on a roll. This stuff just coming to me. We all know this. But, you know, when the Bible says, you know, we just read it a few minutes ago, where we are in the world but not of the world. Right. See, that's some things that the world, that are the world's way, and some things that are God's way or Christian's way. See, the world's way is this. The higher a person is in rank or status, they want us to serve them. That's the world's way. But the Christian way is opposite. The higher a person is in rank or status, they serve the person who's lower. Y'all still with me? See, a lot of times we say we're in the world, we're anywhere, but not in the world. But, you know, we have to think about what comes with it. In other words, we don't do things the way the world do them. Now we do things opposite from the world, which is the Christian way. You know, the general come in, everybody want to run and serve him. And so, sir, you know, give me a hat, sir. Give me, come on. But in the Christian world, the general wants to serve. Well, God served us. He sent Jesus to redeem us. Jesus came to perform a service. He came to serve us. Because he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. See. So, sometimes we have it twisted. We have a different way of living. As Christians, we are servants. Like Jesus. That's why we have to have his mind set. Are y'all still with me? So, the mind is right, the heart is going to be right, the heart is right, we will serve right. Because once again, Jesus said he came to serve. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. Matthew 20. And when you get there, say amen. It's trying to get us to look at servanthood in a different light. Not our way, but God's way. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to start with verse number 25. Let's see. Are you there yet? In verse 25, this is what Jesus did. He called the disciples to him. And he said, you know, that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. He says, but it shall not be so among you. He says, see, they do it one way, but he said, it won't be that way among you. He said, but whosoever will be great among you, this is what I just told you a few minutes ago, whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your, King James says, minister. The word means servant. Do y'all see that? But it shall be not so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Do y'all see that? And then look at what Jesus said. He said, even as the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? That's a capital S there, isn't it? He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to or served, but to what? Serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. In other words, he came to value others. Because I told you last week, that Jesus had it made. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, I'm trying to get you to see that Jesus already was in heaven. I like to say it this way. God forgive me, forgive me if, you know. But I like to say it this way. In our words, he was already laid back on the recliner. But he made a sacrifice for you and for me to come to be of service to us by giving his life for us. Are you all still with me? In other words, he had the mind to serve. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, right? That's what Philippians 2 says. He had the mind to serve. If he had the mind to serve, that means he also had the heart to serve. See? If he had the heart to serve, because he had the heart to serve, he served faithfully. Faithfully. They just serve to expect to get something back, like a lot of people do in the world. He served faithfully. Why? Because it's in his heart. Are you all still with me? See. The world's way of doing things is what Jesus talked about the Gentiles here. They have high rank and they want you to serve them. But he said, disciples, with you it won't be that way. He said, you have to live your life the way I live mine. You have to follow in my footsteps. I came to serve, and since you are following me, you're here to serve. Why? Once again, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Are y'all still with me? Jesus was in unity with the Holy Spirit and with God. He said many times in the Bible, not my will, but God's will. See, he didn't say, well, I'm Jesus, I'm Lord, God, you know, look, now that I've left heaven and I'm on earth, I'm going to do my own thing. No. He said, I do the will of my Father. Unity. And he was a good servant. Amen? The Bible tells us as Christians to be like-minded. Not just like with other Christians, but like-minded as Jesus. Because once again, his mind was right, his heart was right. Like-minded. And you know, we see these verses, we read them a lot. Like-minded. What does that mean? How can I be like-minded? How can I become that way? Well, the way we can become that way, first of all, we renew our mind. We have to do that. The Bible tells us to present your bodies and renew your mind. And then, you know, once we renew our mind, in order to develop, because remember I just told you a few minutes ago, you know, we have the mind of Christ, but it has to be developed. So how do we become like-minded? Well, one way to become like-minded is to become a lot of things that we want to become, or to do the same thing we do when we want to receive things. What do? We ask God to help us to become like-minded. Go to Romans chapter 5, like-minded. What does that mean, like-minded? Because if we have the mind of Christ, and we become like Christ, we're going to do the things that Christ did. Amen. In the body of Christ, man, woo. We can walk around like that movie. The guy on the movie say, "Somebody stop me." We can't be stopped. Amen. Somebody stop me. Amen. The Bible says that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. I like to add, as long as we're doing the will of God. Are you at chapter 15? Or did I say 5? Amen. I meant 15. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all know how I am. I be looking at so many scriptures. You know, when I be preparing my message, I be going through so many scriptures. Amen. Chapter 15. Let's see. We have to be like-minded. And once again, Jesus was always focused on those who were weak, the unsaved, people who had infirmities, people who had sicknesses, people who needed help, okay? He was always helping those who needed help. Even a woman that was caught, you know, that they brought to Jesus and she was caught in adultery, you know, Jesus didn't hit her with the frying pan, you know. He just said that he who was without sin cast the first stone. And then he just told her, "Hey, just go and don't do it no more." We'd be like, "Oh, did you see? Oh, you old girl. Oh, man, let me tell ya." I remember years ago, this gospel singer, you know, had some altercations with, her husband, they had some altercations in public. And I went to work the next morning, and this was several years ago, and the people was talking, "Oh, did you hear about so-and-so and so-and-so? Oh, she made all these music, and I can't." I'd be like, look, like they say, stop the presses. The woman is a human being. I mean, just because you all put her up on a pedestal, that doesn't mean she got to live according to your standards. She just made a mistake. Anyway, amen, amen, amen. Repent and move on. That's the mindset of Jesus. Look at chapter 15. This is Apostle Paul, who also had the mind of Christ. He says, "We then," verse 1, are you all with me? He said, "We then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the" who? Isn't that what Jesus did? "And not to please" who? I mean, I see Jesus all over that. Those verses right there tell us to be like Jesus. This is what Paul is telling them in Philippians chapter 2. It's the same exact things. He said, "We that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." He says, "Let every one of us please his neighbor." And it's not talking about the person next door. It's talking about anyone who needs help for his good and edification. And then he says in verse 3, "For even Christ pleased not himself." Well, we just saw what Jesus said that he came to serve. Even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, "The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." In other words, what he's saying is that, talking about insults. You know how people insult you sometimes? He said, when you are insulted, he said, "Don't worry about it because it falls on me." He said, "Don't worry about it. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's." That's why when we get insulted, don't worry about it. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because we live in this world, we have feelings and stuff. Of course, things are going to affect us, but don't worry about it because they fall on Jesus. Why? Because he took them from from us. Why? Because it's a form of servants. If a Brother Harley have a need, I say, Brother Harley, don't worry about it, brother. I got this. Give it to me. I'll take care of it. It's a form of servant. It takes it off of him. Now he can focus on doing something else. Be like, thank you. Thank you, Brother Ron. I'm glad you did that for me. Yeah, no problem, bro. I just want to be a good servant. Y'all still with me? Oh, I can say, Brother, you're hey, listen, tomorrow, give me a call tomorrow, and then I won't answer the phone. That's not the way of Jesus. Are y'all still with me? And look at here. So then he said here. He said, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the what? Scripture might have what? Hope. I like this. For whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our learning. What Paul told them in Philippians chapter 2 applies to us today. Although we were not there at the church of Philippi when he wrote the letter to them. And then the Bible says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you, do y'all see that? Grant you to be like-minded. Do y'all see that? The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to who? Christ Jesus. In other words, be like-minded like Jesus is like-minded. Or be like-minded like Jesus. So that is for every Christian. If every Christian have the mind of Christ, do you realize how much more powerful we will be? That's why we got to continue to stay in the Word. That's why we have to continue to pray. That's why we have to continue to miss meals sometime and go on a fast. That's why we have to continue to make sacrifices. Sacrifices. Regardless how big or small they are, make sacrifices. Like my wife with the candle. Sacrifice. See? How many know sacrifice is not something you give away if you don't want it? That's not a sacrifice. Now I got these, let me just give it away. No, that's not a sacrifice. You just trying to give, look, you just trying to get rid of something so your closet won't be cluttered. But when you give away something that you want, man, I sure hate to give this away. That's a sacrifice. Are y'all still with me? Ask God. Because the only way we're going to be able to serve those who are weak is that we have to have the mind of Christ. Because if we have the mind of Christ, selfishness will not set in. Conceit will not set in. If we have the mind of Christ. Are y'all still with me? See. But the key to being a good servant is that I must serve God first. I can't be a good servant, tell the bond driver, if I don't serve God. When I say serve God, I'm talking about obey his word. See, in order to be a good servant of God, I must follow him, follow the word. Because once again, people use this scripture, you know, when they talk about and all things shall be added. But I like to use it this way. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I like to stop it right there. God must always be first. Yes, it's true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things to be added. But the key to the whole verse is seek God first. And then it tells you what will happen if you seek him first. But the most important part of that verse is seek God first. Sometimes we read it based on what we can receive. Once again, seek first kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. See, we focus on the added. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the added. But the emphasis on seek God first. Because if I can seek God first, if I put God first, then it's more easier for me to put people first. Because the Bible says when Jesus was talking about love, you know, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. And all thy. And all thy. And then love thy what? Is thy what? In other words, if I don't love God first, I can't love my neighbor. If I don't serve God, I'm definitely not going to be able to serve people. I mean, that to me, that makes a lot of sense. Like-minded, talking about like Jesus. See, I have to love God. I have to follow Jesus, follow his will, follow his ways. Must follow him. John chapter 12, I want to show it to you. John 12. I know I might be going a little fast, but it's at 13 minutes. It's a certain place I want to get to today. John 12. John 12. We know in John chapter 11, when Jesus said, Martha, Martha, leave Mary alone. Let her, you know, she's doing the right thing. John 12. Jesus told his disciples in verse 23, he said, I was coming that the Son of Man should be glorified. Okay, he's talking about his going to the cross. And then he says, verily, verily, in verse 24, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's talking about fruit there. He's talking about planting seeds. We talked about fruit not too long ago. We talked about the vine and the branch and the master farmer. Okay, he said, he that loveth his life, verse 25, do you all see that? He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. What he's talking about there is giving up our life for him. Okay, accepting him as Lord and Savior. If I give up my life, my life belongs to Jesus now. If you're saved. And the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us because our bodies and there is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, if any man serve me, y'all see that? Verse 26, let him do what? Follow me. And he says, where I am, I'm in verse 26 for those of you who might not know. He says, where I am, there shall also be my servant. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father do what? Honor. Do you all see that? You know, in Matthew chapter 25, I believe, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but, you know, Jesus is talking about separating the sheep from the goat. And he's talking about, many of you might be familiar with this series of scripture. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. And he's talking about, when I was hungry, you gave me no food. When I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. When I need clothing, you gave me nothing to wear. And they said, the goat going to say, Jesus, Jesus, you know, when did I not give you any food? You know, when did I not give you any water? He said, when you did it to the little ones, you did it also unto me. Don't you know when you serve other people, you're serving God? When you don't serve others, I'm serving God. He's blowing smoke. It's just the way it is. See, once again, I mentioned this several times, and this just came a few days ago. I mean, I was just doing something, and just off this out of the blue, this came to me. You know, I said the Holy Spirit spoke to me, God, but I did not make this up. This came to me, and I'm like, wow, you know, I never thought about that before. And I talked to my wife about it. You know, the biggest problem with Christians is that they never transitioned from the natural worldly focus to spiritual focused. And I guess the majority of Christians in this world It just came to me. They never transitioned. They got saved. But there's a transition that takes place where we stop looking at things the way the world sees them. We look at it from a spiritual point of view. See? And see, and the reason for that is because although we got saved, we don't spend enough time getting to know what salvation is all about. We don't spend enough time getting to know what God is all about. We don't get enough time. We don't spend enough time getting to know what Jesus is all about. We don't spend enough time finding out what we have through Christ Jesus. Most people focus on, well, we're not, I don't have to go to hell. Well, that's true, but it's much more to it. And let me tell you how we can tap into it. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that many people misinterpret. You know, that's the verse where the Bible says, you know, the eyes have not seen and ears have not heard what God has in store for us. So people say, well, you know, the eyes ain't seen and the ears ain't heard. And when they say that, you know, they make them think they have biblical knowledge. Yeah. The eye ain't seen, the ear, this is so much more, see, you know. But if we continue to read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, I believe, if you continue to read that, you will see where it says, but God has revealed them to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches. There's right there. Thank you all. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. You know, it reminds me of a swimming pool. There's the shallow and there's the deep. And if you want to go to the deep, that means that you got to make an effort to move from the shallow. But see, some people are happy right there in the shadow. See. And see, what I'm trying to get you to see is this. If we want to transition from where we are to where God wants us to be, we have to transition by communicating with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is already searching the deep things. So if I want to get deeper, I need to get connected to the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, once again, unity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all on one accord. Three but one. The only way I can get closer to God, the only way I can get closer to Jesus, the only way I can get deeper with the Holy Spirit is that I have to spend time in God's Word. I have to spend time in prayer. Because if I do not do that, all I'm going to continue to do is just show up at church on Wednesday and Sunday. And how many of you know it's not about the building? Yes, we should come to church, because that's how we learn. But we need to focus more on becoming spiritual. In other words, transitioning from the natural to the spiritual. You know, in Romans chapter 12, we see when the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. But how many of you know a lot of Christians are still conformed to the world? Because they've not transitioned to the spiritual because they don't spend time. And that's why a lot of things in the Bible people don't understand. Why? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Are y'all still with me? That's why when we serve the way we want to serve. Because we feel like that's the right thing to do. But our motive should be, like the Apostle Paul said, is to help the weak. Because that's what Jesus did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. The blind couldn't see. He helped them to see. How many of you know in today's world, yeah, blind people, you know, you can lay hands on their eyes. They might see you, they might not, in the natural. But in the spiritual, don't you know you can make the blind to see? See, we think about making the blind to see. We think naturally. Jesus healed a man, the blind man was walking, and the blind man followed Jesus. How could he follow Jesus if he was blind? Well, you know, it must have been some kind of anointing pulling him towards Jesus. And Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes and the man could see. So we'd be like, wow, man, Jesus, man, he healed the blind man's eyes. But Christian, look at that from a spiritual point of view. Well, Pastor, what's the spiritual point of view? Well, I'm glad you asked. Think about those out in the world who don't know Jesus. They're spiritually blinded. And you and I have the power to take the word to them, to tell them about Jesus so they can see. How many of you, listen to this, I'm going to move on. I got 4 minutes. How many of you, you all know the song, you all know it. How many of you have ever sung this song right here? You know, I forgot the name of the song, but it ends with, I once was blind, but now I see. If you ever sung this song, just raise your hand for me. Amazing Grace, thank you. How sweet the sound. You say the rest like me. So if you raise your hand, let me ask you a question to justify the point I just made. How many of you have ever been blind naturally? So why are you singing a song then? Right. We sing a spiritual song, but we don't really think about what we sing. We think in more of, talk about servanthood, we think in more of ourselves, right? I was blind, but now I see. But what we fail to do because of the lack of transitioning to God's way of doing things, well, if I was blind, now I see. Well, there must be some other people out there that might be blind. So maybe I need to go out there to help them to see. See, we don't think about that, do we? Why? Because I'm going to look at this screen. Oh, I'm going to look here first. Because due to the fact that Christians, and I'm one too, the word is for me also. I always say that because I'm not there either. The fact that Christians have not transitioned or not transitioned to what God created us to be so we can see things the way God sees things. That's why the Bible says God's ways are above our ways, his thoughts are above our thoughts. We don't see these things. Why? Because we are. I forgot why I was going to look at the screen, so y'all ain't got to worry about that. Amen. I was going to say something, I ain't want to look at nobody, But we don't get a chance. We don't see things like God sees things. Why? Because we don't spend enough time doing what we need to do to transition from the natural to the spiritual. In other words, we don't have the mind of Christ. Because Christ's mind always focuses on those who are in need. Where most of the time we focus on ourselves. Are y'all still with me? We got to change our mindset. As I said earlier, we're getting ready to move into a brand new year. I know a lot of us might not go into the year, but, if you're a Christian, that's fine, too. Because if you don't make it until next year, guess what? That means you get to see Jesus earlier. Then, I know a lot of people are afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. Because in death, as a Christian, we live. Y'all still with me? I have about 15 more scriptures here. But I'm not going to get into them because of the sake of time. But the point that I want to get across to us today is this. There is much, much more to the body of Christ. When God, and the word of God talks about unification and servanthood, it's a reason for that. A lot of Christians, and I'm one, we're happy. It's like the church at Philippi. They were encouraged. They were happy because they were Christians. They were connected to Jesus. They were happy about that. That's fine. Like a lot of Christians today, we get saved, we're happy. I mean, that's we should be. But Paul wanted to remind them. He said, I know you're encouraged. See, Paul founded the church at Philippi. Did you all know that? That's what the apostles did back then. He just went around, establishing churches in different locations. So he would, they would write him, he would write them, they would write him, he would write them. The Pauline epistles are letters that Paul wrote to the churches, especially the church of Corinth. He wrote two letters. He wrote them several times. They kept acting up. But But they were excited to be Christians, like we are today. But Paul told them, he said, if you are encouraged by being connected to Jesus, he said, that's a good thing. He said, but now what you need to do, you need to develop the mind of Christ. He said, you need to be on one accord. He said, you need to value others above yourself. He said, you need to stop focusing on the world's way of doing things and start focusing on God's way. Instead of always wanting to be served, you need to be a servant. He said, I know it might be hard for you to do that, but I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to show you how Jesus did it. And all you have to do is follow the blueprint that Jesus left for you. And he said, if you do that, you're on your way. Stand to your feet. Christians, I'm here to tell you. The same guidance that Paul gave to the Christians at Philippi is the same thing that applies for us today. Instead of us talking about Jesus being first, let's make him first. Instead of being always so concerned about ourselves, let's be concerned about others. And I want to encourage all of us, let's spend more time getting to know God by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and guide us into all truth. How many of you know the Holy Spirit can lead and guide us to the deep things of God? Because if the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came to lead and guide us, just follow behind me. I'm just going to play the Holy Spirit right now. To all truth. And the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us to all truth. And if while he's leading and guiding us, he's also searching the deep things of God. If I follow him, what am I going to be doing? Searching the deep things of God along with the Holy Spirit. The deep things, not the shallow water. The deep things. In the natural world, people would say, well, Pastor, I can't swim. But in the spiritual world, I would say, but the Holy Spirit can. Amen? Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy.